Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of Beware the Board, a horror podcast where we watch a randomly selected horror movie every single week. I'm Bob.
And I'm Ben.
Hey, Ben.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Woo.
Yahoo.
It's our first actual episode of the new year, 2025.
This is coming out after the new year?
Yes.
Holy shit.
Yeah, because as of recording, we're recording the Saturday before Tuesday's New Year's
Day, yeah.
Eve, and then
this
Friday.
Whatever this is going to be. Now, do you have anything you want to talk about before we get to what I'm going to talk about?
Okay, so for anyone who's interested in Blu-ray stuff, Arrow just released its March schedule of films, and among them, there's Deep Blue Sea is getting a 4K.
Oh, you did send me that.
I did send you that.
That's pretty horrific.
So that's pretty cool. And then on the other side of things, apparently, I don't know if you know this, there's been talks about Labyrinth getting a sequel film for years and years, and it's been in kind of production hell, but it seems like there's been some hints that Robert Eggers might be
directing it. I saw that. That'd be cool.
That's more like rumors right now, it looks like, but you know, we like him here on the podcast.
We do.
You have any like horror news?
So the only thing I have is sad, but I do have a question before I get to this sad thing.
Do the sad thing first, and then I'll answer the question, because I think I know what the question is.
God damn it. Okay. In sad horror news, the original Black Christmas star, Olivia Hussey, has passed away, which sucks. Right after Christmas, too. I hate seeing all these horror icons dying and stuff like that. Like, it sucks. I know it's, like, part of life and everything.
Yeah, and I mean, when did Black Christmas come out? Was it 69?
No, maybe. I thought it was 70 on the dot or something like that.
It was a while ago. And in either case, 74.
Oh, okay.
Which, I mean, it's like 50 years ago.
Yeah. Which, I mean, still. That was the only piece of horror news that I wanted to bring up. A, because it's sad, but B, because, like, we need to appreciate the people while we have them, you know?
Yeah, that's
especially
fair.
In the industry and stuff, because anything can happen.
I guess I have one piece of news, but I assume I was saving it to the end, but I assume it's the question you're going to ask me.
Yeah, have you watched Nosferatu yet?
Yeah, I saw it day of release, so Christmas Day.
Yeah, what'd you think?
I thought it was pretty good. Now, let me preface that by being like, I'm a film nerd and also a fan of the director, so Robert Eggers. So I'm kind of in the perfect demographic for that movie, but I thought it was really good. So in preparation on, like, the day before, I watched the 1922 Nosferatu, so the original one, just because I hadn't seen it in a while. And then I, you know, went and watched the movie. And I thought it was a pretty faithful adaptation.
Well, that's cool.
Obviously, the original Nosferatu is only like an hour and a half, and the new film's like 2 hours and 12 minutes, something like that.
Damn.
So there's more content involved, and obviously there's dialogue. So there's a good bit of changes because there's more content in the new film, but I thought it did a really good job of staying faithful to the original one where it could. Like, there was a couple scenes where I could be like, I knew that was coming the second before it came.
Really? That's really cool.
I just watched that other film, or some of the characters looked near identical to the ones from the original film. So I thought that was really cool. He also borrowed a bunch of stuff from Dracula to kind of fill some of the holes. As well as, I mean, we've seen The Witch on the air, and I think he does a great job with historical fiction. So he pulled some stuff from kind of that, and I thought he did a great job filling in the gaps. For instance, part of the film is set in Germany, and then the other part is Transylvania, and everything looks like how it should for the time period, and I thought that was really cool. So yeah, overall, I thought it was a really well-made film. I think he did a great job. Even when he puts his own spin on it, because, you know, he is not afraid of nudity and stuff.
Yeah, I've heard that movie is mad horny. That's the only thing I've been seeing people talk about is how much nudity and, like, just, like, sex stuff is in that movie.
But that's both Robert Eggers' style with films. Like, he doesn't shy away from that. And also, it's Dracula, which is just a horny book, and at least culturally very horny. So it made sense for this movie to be that way. I will say, I think the only problems with that movie is it's probably not for everyone, because it is fairly slow and atmospheric. Like, it would freak you out, because it's in that perfect range of films that freak you out with the atmosphere. But that's not something everyone enjoys because they find it boring. And also, I don't know how many people are actually familiar with Nosferatu outside of like the SpongeBob clips.
Yep. My girlfriend was talking about that yesterday.
And I've heard people talk about they were in the movie theater, and as people were leaving, they were complaining that it's like, oh, that's such a ripoff of Dracula. And it's like, yeah, that's what Nosferatu is. It's an illegal adaptation of Dracula.
Yeah. Do people not know that?
I don't think people know that.
That's weird.
And so they see the movie and they're like, this is just a weird Dracula.
Yeah, that was the point.
And I think that's another issue. So I do think, well, it has been doing pretty well for its opening weekend because it came out on Christmas and stuff. And the theater I was in, no more seats. It was completely full.
That's good.
I'm not sure how long that'll stay. However, I think it'll do great on the aftermarket kind of stuff to where it makes back its money.
No, my girlfriend was talking about wanting to go see Nosferatu with, and she was like, do you want to go if I go? Or she was like, my dad wants to go, my sister wants to go. Well, if you go, I'll go, basically. And I was like, I don't know. We'll try. But I'm excited to see it.
Yeah, I really liked it. Plus, just a little aside for my last note, it's maybe a little less unintentionally anti-Semitic than the original.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Things are looking up.
I do think it was mostly unintentional in the original, but it's definitely there. I rewatched the original with my roommate, and we both clocked it pretty quick. Anyways, podcast part of the podcast?
I think we can go on to the podcast part of the podcast.
All right, so we still have three categories, and you have two spots out of each. So we have two Arnold Schwarzenegger spots left, two vampire spots left, and then two clown spots left. Now, I'm thinking maybe we do Arnie again.
No, big dog.
Three episodes of Arnie in a row?
No.
How often do we get that to happen?
Never.
Arnie.
Ah. No. No. I'm keeping it on theme. Vampires.
That's not just on theme. You know what would be more on theme?
We were just talking about Vandalous Frosty.
Clowns.
No.
Because you're here. Boom. Cash.
That wasn't funny. I hate you. My day has been ruined.
Your day was already ruined.
I know. No, I'm choosing vampires, bro.
Okay.
I want to see what other vampire movies we got. Because the first one was so good, but it was so different than like what I expected from the category. So I'm hoping this next one's like Blade or something. You know, like I want to see some crazy shit. So vampires. But I don't know what spots I have, Ben.
You have two and three.
Three.
Three?
Yeah, Ben, what's in spot number three?
Everyone's favorite movie from the early 2000s, Twilight.
No. No way. Are you serious?
No.
Oh, thank God. If you were serious, I think I'd have to quit the podcast.
So I don't think I can justify that for the right reason.
I thought you were going to say I was debating this.
No, I wasn't debating it. I think I could justify it because there's so many unhealthy relationships in that franchise that it's kind of scary. However, from like an actual horror perspective, it's definitely not a horror movie.
It is a vampire movie.
But it is technically a vampire film, even if they sparkle.
Yeah.
With that being said, we're watching a different film.
Okay.
One maybe in the same kind of headspace, though.
Oh, my God.
From 1987.
Oh, 80s movie.
Known as Lost Boys.
Oh, shit. I've heard this movie's really good.
Yes.
I've never seen it.
Shocker.
I know that that's a shocker. But no, like a lot of my friends really like this movie. Well, I just never got around to it.
Now you're going to be exposed to it.
I'm excited.
This season's been good for you. We watched Predators last week.
Yeah, I know.
Anyways, description. The perfect party monsters.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
It's an hour and 37 minutes.
Okay.
It's rated R.
Thank God.
IMDb gave it a 7.2 out of 10.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Tomato meter score of 75%.
Okay.
An audience score of 85%.
Oh, fuck yeah.
A meta score of 63.
Eh.
And a user score of 7.5. Pretty decent.
Pretty fucking good.
Four awards. It has, drum roll please, 3 wins and 5 nominations.
That's pretty good.
Which is pretty good, especially because we've reviewed some films that have
none,
no awards and no nominations. Not even like a Razzie.
Most people don't even know they happened.
They haven't.
Yeah, the movies. Like, oh. Most people don't even know they came out.
That's fair. Notable actors. We have Jason Patrick as Michael Emerson. He played Nick Tellis in Narc. Corey Haim as Sam Emerson. He played Lucas in Lucas. Diane Wiest as Lucy Emerson. She was Louise Kelly in The Birdcage, which is a great film.
Hmm. I've never heard of that one.
It's about a, I don't even know what they're called. Like one of the bars where people sing, but it's the drag queens.
Oh. Okay.
But it has the guy from Jumanji.
Robin Williams?
Yeah. Oh. Stars Robin Williams. It's really sweet. Bernard Hughes as Grandpa. He played Dr. Walter Gibbs / Dumont in Tron. The original Tron, not the remake.
But I haven't seen Tron.
Edward Herrmann as Max. He was Grant Staden the third and Overboard, the original one, not the remake. Fun that we did that twice in a row. Kiefer Sutherland as David. He played Jack Bauer from 24. He was on 195 episodes between 2001 and 2010. Jamie Gertz as Star. She played Dr. Melissa Reeves in Twister, the original one, not the remake.
Yeah. We haven't gotten to Twister.
Corey Feldman.
Oh, shit. As
Hell Edgar yeah. Frog. He was Tommy Jarvis and Friday the 13th, the final chapter.
One of the better ones.
One of the better ones. Jameson Newlander as Alan Frog. He was Anthony in The Blob, the remake, not the original. Oh,
fuck you. I got excited.
As well as the mayor and Bone Tomahawk.
Oh, I know who that is.
Brooke McCarter as Paul. He played Greg from The Twilight Zone. He was on one episode in 1987 entitled Joyride. Billy Worth as Dwayne. He played Nick in Boys on the Side. Alex Winter as Marco. He was Bill S. Preston in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
We need to watch that. Not for the podcast, just in general.
Have you never seen Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure?
No.
Oh, yeah, we should probably watch that. Chance Michael Corbett as Laddie. He played Eddie Harley in Pumpkinhead.
Oh!
That's little.
Yeah.
Little Harley. Not the boy, like young Ed Harley.
Yeah.
Alexander Bacon Chapman as Greg. He was actor in The Fire Ahead, which was a short from 2013. Nori Morgan as Shelley. They were Monica in Curfew. Kelly Jo Minter as Maria. They were Yvonne in A Nightmare on Elm Street, The Dream Child.
Which one is that?
It's not Dream Warriors.
Which is the third one, I think.
It's one of them.
Okay.
Let's put it that way. And then finally, we have Tim Capello as Beach Concert Star. And he was Nico in Hearts of Fire. For director, we have someone you might have heard of before. It's Joel Schumacher.
That name is familiar.
For certain things, he's directed the 2004 film adaptation of the play of the book, The Phantom of the Opera.
Oh, okay.
Which everyone is like, not that good. Because from what I've heard, it's... The way I've heard it described is it's Phantom of the Opera, the musical, for someone who's never going to see the musical ever. Like, it's shot like the musical.
That's weird.
So it has some weird stuff. Writer's Jan Fisher. She wrote one episode of The Golden Girls in 1987, and she has a story and screenplay credit. Another writer is James Jeremias. He has, you know, credits on the whole Lost Boy franchise. He also has a story and screenplay credit. But, like, kind of the biggest writer on here is Jeffrey Boehm, who we've heard of before on this podcast pretty recently, as he wrote The Dead Zone.
Oh, okay.
But also wrote the best Indiana Jones film, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, which is good.
Good movie.
It's got James Bond in it. And he just has a screenplay credit. Budget for the film is estimated at $8.5 million.
That is not a lot of money.
Yeah, but for the 80s, it's pretty good. And a 80s horror movie.
That's fair.
Box office was $32.5 million. So
that's pretty solid, honestly.
Like four times.
Yeah, no, that's pretty good.
Country of origin, obviously United States. Here's the tagline. Sleep all day, party all night, never grow old, never die. It's fun to be a vampire.
Mm. This is the kind of movie. See, this is what I wanted. This will be a very different film than Let the Right One In.
Yeah. So the film's title, you know, Lost Boys, is a reference to another piece of work. Do you know what it is?
Peter Pan.
Yeah. So it's a reference to J.M. Barrie's Peter Pan stories. And specifically, Peter Pan's, you know, band of
army
children.
Yeah.
That never grow old, just like the vampires in this film. So there's kind of a complicated thing with the director in this film.
Oh,
so
no.
So it was originally set to be directed by Richard Donner. And Fisher and Jeremiah's screenplay was modeled on Donner's previous film that had come out just before this, known as The Goonies.
Oh, okay.
So... You know anything about The Goonies? It's a movie about younger kids. And so this film was originally envisioned as a movie about, like, Goonie-aged children dealing with, like, juvenile vampires.
That sounds like fun.
Younger vampires. And yeah, it would have been a lot more PG.
Kid-friendly, yeah.
Compared to what we got. But essentially what happened is when Donner committed to other projects, Joel Schumacher was approached for this film. And with him directing it, Jeffrey Boehm, like, retooled the script as being more adult.
Mm.
That's why we got what we got. So this could have been Goonies Part 2.
This could have been Goonies, but with vampires.
I mean, Goonies is Goonies with pirates, so not too out of the wheelhouse.
Yeah, I guess. Pirates, vampires, same thing.
Vampirates?
That's the crossover we need.
That crossover exists. It's a book series.
Okay. But it's not a movie series.
No, but...
Are there vampires in Pirates of the Caribbean? Do we get there? I know we got, like, zombies and undead skeletons and stuff.
I think it's mostly just undead peoples.
No vampires. No vampires.
I don't think there's a vampire. There is, like, the whole thing with drinking someone's life force.
Oh, yeah.
That comes out of the Blackbeard one.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably the closest we get. As for principal photography, most of this film was shot in Santa Cruz, California, starting on June 2nd, 1986, and ending on June 23rd, 1986, after a 21-day filming. Locations at Santa Cruz include the Santa Cruz Boardwalk, the Ponganip Open Space Preserve, and the surrounding mountains. Kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone knows the boardwalk. That's
famous. Iconic.
Now, if you remember right, we go back in time. I referenced Twilight at the beginning of this
description. You reference Twilight.
That is because this film has been credited with helping the shift of depicting vampires from, like, I don't know, more gothic horror-style monsters into the more pop culture version we're familiar with nowadays.
Oh, okay.
So, like, youthful, sexy, stuff like that. Basically, a direct inspiration for films like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, you know, the movie from 1992, and then, of course, the ensuing stuff that comes from that. So, the TV shows,
Twilight,
etc., etc. So, it's all goes back to this.
I think it's all downhill from here, except for Buffy. Buffy's good.
That's fair. Now, this film was fairly successful, so it did spawn a franchise.
Oh!
So, we have that to maybe look forward to.
Oh, no.
There's two sequels. Lost Boys the Tribe, and then Lost Boys the Thirst, and then two comic book series.
Oh, comics are cool.
And then apparently, in December 2023, a musical adaptation was reported to be in development.
We talked about that when it was announced.
Yeah, directed by Michael Arden, with music by The Rescues. I don't know if that's still happening.
I don't either.
But it was talked about.
People talked about it.
Now, last kind of little thing here. Due to his past fantasy novels and, like, horror short stories, a guy by the name of Greg Shaw Gardner was given a copy of the script before, you know, the movie's released, and asked to write a novelization to accompany the film. The novelization was released in paperback by Berkeley Publishing and apparently includes several scenes later dropped from the movie. So
that's really cool.
Kind of cool. If you really like this movie, you can probably go find that book.
Yeah. Extra content.
Extra content. But that's all I have for now, so.
Okay. I'm actually fairly excited about this one. I'm glad we got something that'll be very different from the previous vampire film of the podcast. So I guess we'll see you guys in a minute. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. We just finished watching The Lost Boys.
Do you like it?
I don't know. Did you like it?
I thought it was fun.
I've never reversed it on you like that. I thought that maybe that would be fun. Yeah, I thought it was fun. I agree. I think it's a fun movie.
That's cool. I mean, I think the reason, aside, you never reverse it on me, is I pick the movies we get to watch.
Yeah, that's true.
So, most of the time, they're either movies I know I'm going to enjoy or movies I want to watch.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. So, asking you if you liked it seems redundant, because the answer is probably yes.
Because the times I don't like it, it's oftentimes... Bob wanted me to put this on there, and I'm going to torture us both.
Look, sometimes you have to make a decision, okay? You have to make a choice, and sometimes those choices are hard.
That's fair. But you liked it, though?
Yeah, no, I thought it was a really fun time.
It was fun. Very different from Let the Right One In.
Oh, so different. Which is what I wanted. It's why I picked the category again.
That's cool. Yeah, I've tried to get a good distribution, because Vampires is so broad.
Yeah, I mean, there are plenty of options. I mean, you could watch Nosferatu. For the last
spot. Well, it's not out yet.
No, I'm talking about the original.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's fair.
But we're not going to. You're saving that.
We could.
If you do, that'd be nice, because then I could go watch the new one in theaters and have the context of the original, but we're not doing that, probably.
Probably not. I honestly don't know how much you'd enjoy Nosferatu.
I don't know.
Because it's a silent film, and I don't think we've watched silent films here yet.
No, we haven't done that for the podcast.
Lots of reading.
I like to read, though.
I know, but whatever. Anyways, getting off track. We both enjoyed the movie, so I think that's a good indication that it's pretty good. And so I'd recommend you go watch it before we spoil anything. That's the best way to enjoy any of these films we cover here. However, if you do want a bit of information, we're about to give a brief rundown, and then we'll get into actual spoilers when we start talking about the film. So, you know, warning. But what this film's about is it's about the grungy Santa, whatever, what was it?
Carla.
Santa Carla boardwalk area, and how some of the grungy dudes are vampires. And
yeah.
These new family, Michael, Sammy, and Lucy?
I don't know the mom's name.
I think it's Lucy. Move into the area and kind of interact with that. Mm-hmm. Particularly focusing on Michael and Sam. If that sounds good, check it out. It's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, we're going to get into it. So, right off the bat, kind of the biggest thing with this film, and I think it's one of the things that really sold Bob on it, is how 80s it is.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, that's Bob's favorite thing, the 80s.
It's pretty cool.
A simpler time. And this film's just, it's so wreathed in, like,
but it,
the culture of it.
It is, but it's like that, when did this movie come out? 1987?
87.
80, so it's like that perfect mix of, like, late 80s, early 90s aesthetic of, like, they're in California, so there's, like, grunge culture, and there's, like, a bunch of punk rock dudes. And it just, it fits that perfect, like, picturesque version of 80s California with, like, skaters and shit. And it works so well with what the film's trying to do.
Yeah, because, like, I mean, you heard my description and kind of the tagline for this film. The vampires in this film are supposed to be those grungy kids who are mm-hmm. like, I want to be a vampire because...
Sounds cool.
Sounds cool. I'll get to be, like, a teen forever. And, you know, that aesthetic that you just described fits that perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, they do a great job of capturing the 80s stuff. I mean, the film opens with, like, credits and stuff because that's what you had to do at the time period. But a lot of it looks like it's real footage from the Santa Carla boardwalk. Mm-hmm. I guess it's filmed in Santa Cruz. Which is really cool.
It is really cool.
Seeing a snapshot of that. Especially because some stuff, especially for the grunge stuff, looks like the early 2000s,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of wild to think about. So I think that was really cool about the 80s aesthetic. Then the other thing was the music.
Well, I think the cool thing about the music is it went for less of like a dramatic score and just used like actual pop music with lyrics, which I think works perfectly when you're doing a film like this about like, I would say late teens, early 20s vampires.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was music that I could imagine those characters listening to.
Mm-hmm. For sure, 100%.
And enjoying. So a lot of times it sounded like it could be more in the scene rather than over top of the scene, which is cool. The one I do want to mention is they kept coming back to this, I guess it's the theme song for the movie. It's called Cry Little Sister.
I actually didn't know what it was called.
I looked it up. But I thought it was a very, very well-written theme song.
Oh, it works. And they used it in really impactful moments. And I thought coming back to it was, like, really, really good.
And, you know, the thing I want to mention about it, because I think it is interesting, is it was very much, like, an 80s pop song still.
Really?
I mean, you heard it.
Yeah.
It was just, it's not what I normally think of a theme song for a mm-hmm. horror movie being.
That's fair.
And the fact that it still worked with this film, I thought was really cool. Now, aside from the 80s aesthetic, which again, I know was a big thing for you. For me, the biggest thing was how funny this movie is.
Oh, it's so fucking funny.
So many of the characters are just very over the top in the most enjoyable way possible, while still being generally realistic that I thought just really took this movie to the next level. I think the most obvious example of this was the grandpa.
Oh, yeah.
He's basically Bob in 40 years.
That's okay. You kept saying that. I don't know how true that is.
And you kept not disagreeing with me. So, but he's just like this old hippie who's into taxidermy and it just doesn't give a fuck.
And it's so funny.
It was very funny. He has what, an old fart shelf in the refrigerator? Yep.
No, and he just like, he's the perfect level of like particular old man while still being like likable, but like funny. It's a really, really interesting character to include in a film like this that focuses so much on young people. To have like the generic old fart in the movie is so entertaining.
And it also feels real because he would have been in his 20s, probably in what, the 60s, the 50s?
Probably, yeah.
So he does really feel like a character that would exist in this world. Another good example of, like, again, realistic characters that are really funny are the Frog Brothers.
Oh my god. Edgar and Alan Frog.
Because they very clearly have no parental supervision at all.
None at all.
We see their parents. They're passed out every time we see them. But
those
the kids
are their parents?
Yes.
What?
Did you not realize that?
No way those are their parents.
Those are their parents.
I thought they were just like some people, dog.
No, those are their parents who we only see twice passed out in the comic book store that the kids run because the parents are passed out.
Oh my god.
But they're really funny because they're written like they, A, don't have any supervision and are raised by comic books. Corey Feldman's one of those kids. He's one of the Frog Brothers. And the whole movie, I imagine that the director, like, commentary for that character was, act like you were a 12-year-old kid that thinks he's Rambo.
And to be honest, he kind of is Rambo.
But just the voice he uses to, like, literal quotes from comic books was great. And
it's so funny.
It was very funny, and it perfectly fit, I think, the tone of the world they were going for.
Because he takes himself so fucking seriously, and so does his brother. Like, they're both just, like, such ridiculous stereotypes of characters. Like, they feel like two kids who are just, like, playing make-believe and leaning into it really hard. But it's all real, so it's so fucking funny.
Yeah, and, you know, combining with those good characterizations and stuff, there was just a bunch of funny little jokes in there that... They weren't, like, breaks in the film to make a joke. They just worked with the natural tone of it. Obviously, Grandpa had a bunch of them that I thought was really good. Like, at one point, the kids steal his car. And he's just like, you know the rule about filling up the car once you're done stealing it? Stuff like that. It was just really, really good. That being said, I think the obvious thing we've skipped over here is the vampire aspect of this film.
Oh, yeah. We haven't really talked about it.
First of all, I can see where this film would have been the inspiration for a lot of more modern style of vampires.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Not only in the fact that they're teens, and we get to see them doing a lot of teen stuff before the vampire stuff, and I can totally see how that influenced things like Buffy or Twilight. But there's also, like, little things. I mean, first of all, there's a whole, like, sexual aspect with one of the vampires between Michael and Star.
Mm-hmm.
That definitely is a tonal inspiration for things like sexualizing vampires. But also, like, little things. The vampires bleed like glitter goo. And so they kill a vampire. And after they do that, they go into the sun. And I was like, oh my god, they're sparkling.
Yeah, they are.
And that was such like a, oh my god, I wonder if the writer of Twilight watched this film.
And went, oh, that was cool.
Growing up. And it just translated over. I don't know. I thought that was really interesting. But vampires are pretty simple, I'd say, by modern standards.
Yeah, especially in like a movie like this. I think the movie was less about the vampires and more about the story and the fact that they were teenagers. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it's very much written like a story about teens influencing someone to do like drugs and other quote-unquote bad things.
But in this case, it's vampirism.
Yeah. But like I said, they're very simple vampires because I think we're so used to them by now.
Well, I mean, they don't. I think the only thing they do that is super like crazy interesting or different than any other like unique vampire trope is A, the vampires don't care about garlic. Like garlic doesn't affect them at all, which I think is fine. I've never really cared for the garlic thing. I've always thought it was better used as a gag in most movies, which is why something like Fright Night uses it. this film does something very similar. So I think it works. But also, the vampires are, like, they can't transform into bats or anything like that. I think they just fly.
Yeah, I think they control when the fly.
Which I like. Think is pretty cool. Which is something I hadn't seen in a vampire film before. So I thought that that was fun.
Well, the big thing I was going to note about them is the fact that really their transformation is very stereotypical for modern vampires.
Oh, yeah, and it's a pretty basic one.
Where
yeah.
they just have fangs, their face becomes a little bit more animalistic looking, and then they have red eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And again, basically what people use nowadays, I mean, I just came off of watching Nosferatu,
yeah.
which is like the super classic vampire, where it looks really alien. And so it's interesting to see the difference between this movie that does a very human-looking vampire most of the time and that. And, you know, I also think it was interesting that we don't get to see that transformation till late in the film.
I'm actually really glad they held it for so long because I think it makes it more impactful.
It does, but I thought it was an interesting choice that they kept the vampires looking as human as possible even after the transformation. I think the only thing we see that is really alien is at one point we see their feet, mm-hmm. and they look like monkey feet, bat feet,
yeah,
because they use them to hang upside down. And I thought that was a cool little touch, but it was very specifically not focused on in a way that I thought was very interesting.
Well, I also think that this is another difference, but like the vampires in this film don't sleep in coffins. They sleep upside down like bats. Which I thought was really cool.
It was really cool. Last big thing for me, I'll put this out here. This film, I thought, was a pretty good referential piece to Peter Pan.
Yeah.
You know, obviously we talked about how like the Lost Boys are the Lost Boys, mm-hmm. right? From Peter Pan, how they're just kids that never grow old. But this film wraps up with like a pretty decent reference to like Peter Pan and Wendy and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That I was able to catch, and I thought that was cool.
Yeah, I think the end of this film is really solid. I think it really brings everything together in a really nice way. It's a lot better than I thought it was going to be, because I was going to be really mad for a minute if something in particular had happened. But it worked out, so it's fine.
Oh, yeah, the ending is really great, and I just want to say, I think the grandpa has a great closing line.
Oh, it's incredible.
That is really on point for his character and how he behaves.
No, it's super duper good. I think my only...
Yeah, did you have issues with this film?
I was about to say, my only issue with this movie that I really had was they make a very big point. Well, sorry. I made a very big point during the film, and I don't know if we clipped it or not. We might have. I don't remember. I didn't think it needed to be rated R, like while we were watching it. I think I still stand by that. I don't know if this needs to be a rated R film. I think it would actually work much better as like PG-13 or something.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of get that, and it's a pretty close to PG-13 film for me. But it's also one of those things where films nowadays tend to be really, really violent
mm-hmm.
and still get PG-13 ratings.
Yeah.
Versus back in the day where violence was more of a big deal, but like swearing didn't matter as
much. I don't
think
there was any swearing in this movie whatsoever.
No, but I think it's one of those things where I can see where this film deserved an R rating,
mm-hmm.
but it was definitely like the bottom end of the R rating
for me. I guess more my point is, from what I could tell from this movie, I expected it to be a lot more violent and like gross and like have a lot more blood and people dying and stuff, but there's really not a lot of it, but that makes it have very like a lighthearted tone. I think works with how funny it is.
Yeah, it felt like a teen horror film. Kind of like felt something like a teen, like
yeah.
Scream or something.
Mm-hmm. But with vampires.
I will say, I did think it was very funny when you mentioned, I don't think this should be R-rated. And up to that point, there was no gore. And yeah. then immediately after you said that, people started getting torn in half.
Yeah. I was going to say, the only particularly gross deaths are the ones with the vampires. We don't really get a lot of actual other people dying. Which is kind of sad, because what we do get to see looks like it could be good, but it's, like, shot and cut up into, like...
Hazy.
It looks hazy, and it's, like, a bunch of quick cuts between stuff, and I wish we'd gotten more of that. Like, I want to see the Lost Boys, like, annihilate some people, because I think that makes them scarier.
I think you're right, but once again, I think the film was going for that more teen feel.
Yeah.
And honestly... They may have gotten, like, shafted by the censors and gotten an R rating
mm-hmm.
because I think the reason they focus on the vampire deaths is because They're not people. That doesn't count.
Exactly, yeah. But the vampire deaths are really good.
They're all way over the top.
Way over the top, way gross and cool, but I like them a lot.
Like, one explodes.
Two, more than one, two explode. Three, I would say three explode.
One melts.
One does melt.
One kind of just geysers.
That one's cool.
And
I like that one.
One kind of just like fogs.
No, one vampire in your plumbing and you're just ruined, apparently.
I mean, yeah, what do you expect?
Who knew a vampire could do that much to your plumbing in your house?
It's the worst part of Santa Carla.
The plumbing.
The vampire plumbing. So that was the only issue for you?
Yeah, really. That was okay. The only thing I had a problem with. Other than that, I thought it was really fun.
I will say, for me, and this is going to be a nitpicky issue, because again, I thought the movie was really fun, but I didn't feel like there was a lot of substance there.
No, this is very much a surface level movie.
It was very funny, and I liked the aesthetic of it and everything. Mm-hmm. But honestly, nothing really happens.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a film showing, okay, this kid is very obviously the fill-in for, oh, he's being lured into drugs, and he becomes grouchy and distant from his family. And then, okay, he fights back in this way, literally, against the people who made him this way. And that is something, but it's really, I don't know, like a 10, 15, maybe 30-minute story that they stretched out to.
But I think they stretched it out in the best way possible by giving you lots of funny stuff so you don't get bored, but also just like cool stuff. Like, there's just so many cool shots in this movie.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I was never not entertained in this film. But, you know, going back and talking about it and even watching the film when I was like trying to think about stuff to talk about, it's like there's nothing here.
Yeah, it is very basic and very surface level.
I mean, it's so surface level that the group literally lures Michael, the one who's being like convinced to be a vampire, into jumping off a bridge.
Yep.
Because they do it.
Yep.
It's so on the nose.
It is so on the nose, but that works perfectly when the movie itself is like super referential to vampire like lore and like vampire ideas, you know? When you have these two characters, the Frog Brothers, who are taking this whole vampire threat insanely seriously and like quoting actual ways to kill vampires, and it's just very like, I don't know, fourth wall breaking in the best way possible. Because you know it's a movie about vampires. I don't know. I think it works.
It does. I'm just being, again, nitpicky. Because,
I get it.
You know, we do the podcast and stuff. But also, having some deeper meanings and stories, I think, can be really good for, like, multiple rewatches.
For rewatch value, yeah.
And I think this film is funny enough that you don't need that. But I think it should be noted that there's not a lot there.
No, I was really hoping for some sort of deeper, like, connection between Mike and Sam. I wanted some sort of storyline there to like follow through and maybe to get something more out of that.
But once again, I think the characters were written so well that I didn't need it.
Yeah. The characters are really good.
Like, I wanted some backstory that we didn't get. Mm-hmm. But again, characters are written so well that it feels real.
No. I think it's fun.
Yeah. You got anything else to talk about?
I don't think so.
Okay. So, recommendations?
Yeah. Look, if you like Fright Night, and you think 80s vampire, could it be better? Watch this. It's different.
Oh, yeah. I think this would be an amazing double feature.
Watching this in Fright Night? Yeah. Because it's two very different takes on vampires.
They're very different, but they're the same kind of tone of, like, fun 80s vampire film.
Yeah. If you like any of the actors associated with this, I think Corey Feldman does a great job in this movie. I think he's so fucking funny.
But I mean, there's a bunch of famous actors in this.
Yeah, and they're all really good. I think the acting overall was pretty top, and I had a good time with it. I mean, if you think the idea of like punk rock vampires sounds fun, watch this. It's cool. It's cool to see them do stuff. I think they did a good job capturing that aesthetic and using vampirism to amplify that. I think it's fun. I think those are my recommendations.
Okay. I'll try to go for some stuff you didn't mention. First of all, if you want a film that feels really like grungy and punky and like late 80s, early 90s, this film's perfect for that. They do a bunch to capture that aesthetic. I mean, there's one scene that serves almost no purpose where they're on a beach and there's a sweaty guy with a saxophone and everyone's just like headbanging next to barrels on fire.
Yeah.
Peak right there. But also, if you're just looking for a teen vamp movie, I think this is a pretty solid one without getting too far into melodrama and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, good coming-of-age movie, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, it feels like a real teen horror film, and I think it does a really, really great job of, like, capturing all the general issues you might have at that age. I mean, we haven't mentioned it, but there's, like, a whole divorce plot with the mom and mm-hmm. how she's starting to see someone new.
And how it's affecting the youngest child, and he doesn't understand, and, like...
Yeah.
It's a whole thing. It's really good.
Oh, if you like dogs... Nanook.
Oh, the dogs in this movie are really good.
They're such great
actors. They're really good in this movie.
Nanook is like the best dog.
Yeah, we hadn't mentioned that. That's a good call.
With that being said, that's all I got. So, rate it.
I like this movie, but I don't think it's like a cinematic masterpiece. I think we both made the point that it lacks any sort of deeper meaning. Like, surfacely, I think it works. It's funny. It's entertaining. But I want a deeper message, and I want that to be sort of woven throughout the story.
Oh,
I think they do try that a little bit here and there, but there's nothing that holds, like, solid enough to make it work. But I don't think that makes it a bad film. I just think that means it...
It doesn't have enough oomph to get you to a five.
Five, exactly. So I think I'm going to give it a four. I like the movie. I think it's super fun. But it could be better. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think a four is a pretty respectable rating, and I was kind of in between a four and a four and a half.
Me too.
But you know what? I'll go with a four as well. I think that's a good place to fit this film. Because, like, I had a great time.
Yeah.
Enjoyment level, I think, might have been around a five.
Oh, yeah. We were laughing the whole time.
There wasn't enough there for me to, like, get it the rest of the way. Like, it was... This film is great, and it does a great job of doing what it sets out to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I just need more to give a film a higher rating. Than a four. The only thing that might have gotten me a four and a half is, again, how fucking funny this film is, because we lost our shit, like, back to back to back.
Some of those one-liners are just so fucking funny. Like, God, the grandpa kills me. So good.
With that being said, I guess we'll go to outtakes.
Yeah, we marked quite a bit today.
We did, but a lot of them, I will admit, was... Just us losing our shit.
And laughing, which doesn't make for good content.
Unless you can hear the movie, but I doubt you can.
Yeah.
So anyway. We'll be back in a second.
Yeah. We'll see you guys in a minute. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the outtake section for this episode of Beware the Board. I hope you're enjoying our review of The Lost Boys so far. I really love this movie. I think it's a really, really fun time. But without further ado, let's get into the outtakes. This first clip is me begrudgingly agreeing with Ben. That guy's a fucking asshole, but that's funny.
Bob, that is exactly what you would be as a grandpa.
I know, Ben.
Like, even the outfit.
I know. This next clip is our reaction to the very end of the film.
He knew the whole time.
He knew the entire fucking time.
It makes sense.
But you don't think, like, that he could have warned them? That he could have been like, oh, you probably should know that this is happening.
Okay, but hear me out. Grandpa is exactly the type who would have just assumed they knew that. Because it's so obvious.
But he did, like, I guess he did say, I don't like going to town.
And he was like, you know... There's so many murders here, if all the dead bodies stood up.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed the outtakes. Do we have any announcements, Ben?
Well, we're done with all our stuff for 2024.
Like, yes, we are.
Holiday stuff. So, that means we're free.
Freedom!
And so we're... Gonna start working on the Evil Dead stuff. We have
soon
three movies left to watch.
Yeah, I think so. Army of Darkness, the Evil Dead, and then Evil Dead Rise, right?
Yeah.
Nice.
So, three movies to watch. That'll be fun.
Yep.
Again, we haven't started recording those yet, so it'll be at least 3 weeks from when you hear this episode for us to finish recording them.
And then to edit them is a whole other debacle.
So... It's a future thing, but I thought I should bring it up again.
Yeah. And then also, next month, Valentine's Day.
Yeah, but that's so far away. We won't worry about it until the week before when you're like, oh, fuck, we got to do this.
No, we should record that way in advance so I can edit it, please. Thank you.
We should.
This is evidence, recorded evidence, and I'm begging you for us to record that.
You want recorded evidence? Hey, Bob, how are my memes I made? Are they posted to YouTube right now?
As of recording this, no. As of it coming out, maybe.
I want to trust you so bad.
Look, here's the thing, fucker. Sorry, that was mean. I'm sorry.
That was mean. That was really nice.
That was really uncalled for. I'm so sorry. We're done after this for today. I can go home and do it.
Yeah, we are taking a break because Christmas for us has been wild. Both of us worked like 14 days straight.
Yeah.
And then, you know, doing stuff with family and everything.
Yeah. No, it's been rough. Rough week.
Anyways, that's all on the side. Going to get into the usual spiel. Check us out wherever you get your podcast, Spotify, Apple Podcast, any other podcast-specific platform. If you're checking us out on any of those, please give us a quick rating or review. That really helps us out with getting traffic on those platforms, and we really appreciate it. However, the best way to help the podcast out is to recommend it to a friend. I mean, that's what cool friends do. They take you to a cave.
Oh,
they,
no.
They share a bottle of mystery juice with you.
Not the mystery juice.
Chinese food. Oh, and they the go, Chinese you know what nice. You should try? Beware the board. Then go jump off a bridge.
But you should follow the podcast first. Give us 5 stars before you jump off the bridge.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you can check us out on YouTube, which, while not the best for audio-only content, is pretty nice for showing us some support. You know, we can see your likes, subscriptions, views, and that gives us a lot of motivation to keep going. I always love seeing that, and I know
me too.
Bob likes it as well. We got coffee before we watched the movie, and we were just looking over that stuff.
Yeah. A dude on the Christmas episode commented Merry Christmas, which is very nice. I was like, thank you,
random citizen.
Thank you. Thank you for the support, brother.
With that being said, YouTube might have a couple cool tools you're interested in. There's a bell button which lets you get notified whenever we post something new. So in case we post something out of our usual format, that's a good way to know, because we're not always great at announcing stuff like that.
No, we're bad at it.
Yes. Also, there's a search button on our channel page which lets you search key terms in all our videos. So in case you're looking to see if we've covered a specific movie, that's probably the best way to do that. Otherwise, the biggest thing with YouTube is it's one of the two major places to communicate with us at. You can do that in the comment section of a specific video if there's something you want to talk to us about in that episode. Or you can go over to Twitter, @AppleWareTheBoard, and go chat up Bob. Maybe send him pictures of your taxidermy that you're really proud of. And,
okay.
Just maybe tell him about the grunge scene. He's always tuned into that.
Yeah, not the taxidermy part. I think taxidermy, while I appreciate it as a hobby, it's kind of too gross for me. Like, I don't want dead animals that I'm not eating in my house.
Well, what level of taxidermy? Is it, like, just the full stuffed animals, or do, like, the mounted heads from hunting gross?
Oh, the mounted heads are fine, actually.
Because that is technically taxidermy.
But, like, the full body taxidermy, I just can't do.
I think that might be because, honestly, it's very easy to make bad taxidermy.
That's fair.
And a lot of those full body stuff, because it's more complicated and you have to show in motion, has a higher tendency to look bad.
That's fair.
So it might be that.
Maybe.
Also, it's bigger centerpieces. It also might be that, like, we live in the South and mounted heads is...
Oh, yeah. Those are in my uncle. Like, my uncle has some in his house, and that seemed normal. Like Ben said, check us out on Twitter, @BewareTheBoard. It's where he posts updates about the show, information about the show. Basically, if there's anything you want to know about the show, it goes on our Twitter. On Mondays, I post a spoiler post for that week's worth of episodes, which is a hidden movie cover you can reveal. So you can watch the film before we do. So when you listen to the episodes, you don't get any spoilers or being vague about stuff, you know what we're talking about. Then on Fridays or whatever other day the episode goes live, I always post a link to the episode on our Twitter. So if you ever miss an upload or want to know what's going up, there's always a link there. Last thing, we do short form content for the show over on @BewareTheBoard on TikTok and on YouTube Shorts. So if you like short form content and want to support the show, check us out over there, @BewareTheBoard on TikTok and on YouTube Shorts. Ben, I think we're done.
Okay. Well, we'll see you guys next week, where it is probably actually going to be a surprise about what we watch.
What do you mean? It was a surprise this week.
No, it wasn't. On the last episode, Predator, you went, we're going to watch vampires next week.
Did I say that?
Yes, you did.
Well, do you want me to tell you what we're watching next week?
Maybe don't tell the audience. You can tell me afterwards.
But I could be lying.
Yeah, you could be.
Nah, I'll leave it for a surprise.
Anyways, we'll see you guys next time.
Bye, everybody.